glad you're here with us. It's almost time for Arts Live and Local. Got a bit of an early start there. And got a full South Clatsop and North Tillamook County bill of fares today, which very rarely happens, and these are very brave people. So I'm impressed, because it is hood to coast, and you know what that means about traffic. So lucky us, they drove all the way up here to share what's going on in the area with you. I'm going to play you some Alexa Wiley and the Wilderness, and they're going to be at Fort George on Sunday evening. Have a listen, enjoy, stay tuned to your Coast Community Radio.
What makes me different? Any other girl reaching her tendrils into the light. Be noticed all around and all right. When you steal her, it's hard to get her back, though you so are mine. She's seen the darkness on the streets that she finds. Up again.
Alexa Wiley and the Wilderness, and they are going to be at the Fort George Brewery Sunday evening, 8 p.m., and I'm sure it will be a terrific show. It always is. Well, first guest, as I mentioned, everyone came the long way. Nobody from Astoria. That would have been much too easy on this hot, hot day. So Marilyn Carr is here. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Carol.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And you are, you actually came the furthest. Where do you live?
Rockaway Beach.
Rockaway Beach. Yah, Habibi, that is a ways. Marilyn is the director of the upcoming play, Love, Loss, and What I Wore. It's Reader's Theater by, the play is written by Nora and Delia Ephron, and it's being presented as Reader's Theater by the Riverbend Players at the lovely new NCRD Performing Arts Center in Nehalem. And I finally got there. A bunch of us from Astoria went for the I Am My Own Wife. And yes, they've done such an amazing job that it doesn't even look like the same space. I'm confused when I walk in there. Is this where we used to be? You're directing. Have you directed before?
No, I haven't, Carol.
Whoa, how'd that happen?
I'm on the committee of selecting plays, and I fell in love with it. So I was the volunteer.
Oh, I see. You said, why don't we do this? And they said, you're it.
No, not at all.
No.
No, I said, can I do it?
Oh, what made you, have you acted in plays?
Yes.
Okay, so what gave you the idea that you wanted to direct? It's a very different phenomenon.
I could visualize the play. I could visualize all the scenes. There's 28 scenes in the play, and how we would go from one to the other. And Carol, we have live music, and we're going to have...
During the play. Oh,
well,
wow.
Yes. Let me take that back a ways. We're going to have the...
Sedona Fire Duo.
So it's she, Sedona Torres, and Michael Deanan.
Mm-hmm.
And they will play for a half hour before the play starts.
Mm-hmm.
They will play during the 15-minute intermission.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And then they have recorded some music. So after each scene, it goes black, there'll be music, and then the next scene with the light spotlighted on whoever's in the monologue or the dialogue.
So are all your people going to be on stage the whole time?
All seven.
But they'll be spotlighted. Okay, so I am familiar with this play. Had you been familiar with it before you chose
it? Not at all.
How did you even find it? It's not exactly...
Well, that's just what we do. We research.
Okay.
And I was surprised to hear that you've had it up here in 2014.
Yes, AAUW put it on, Susie Brown, and it was absolutely delightful. So I can endorse it already without seeing your copy. So for those who don't know, why don't you explain, because it's not a normal play. I don't know what that means anymore, but how does it work?
To me, it's set in New York with real people, real stories. In our play, we have seven ladies as the cast. They play many roles, except Gingy. Gingy plays only one role. We have a rack with the clothing that is described. It's really clothing, not just paper. And so we have what she calls herself a prop. And so when that's discussed, that what happened to her at that time, that garment comes to the forward of the rack.
Ah, they don't put it on, but it comes to the front of the rack.
And yes.
That's interesting. Nice, nice. And, okay, so now, what is this? It's monologues and dialogues. Tell folks what this means. Love, Loss, and What I Wore.
Well, I think that Rosie O'Donnell even has a story in this. But they're real people who had stories that happened in the 50s, 60s, 70s. They're poignant, they're funny, they're sad. Some will even bring tears to your eyes. It's I hate to say this, a woman's play, but drag your husbands there anyway.
Well, I think Yeah, and I think everyone enjoyed it because we had a mixed crowd, too, good. Even though it was AAUW. So what is, we talked about the rack, but what does clothing have to do with these stories?
Well, women oftentimes, when something traumatic or something wonderful happens, they can remember what they were wearing. I'll give you an example. Just recently, one of the members of the cast, she had a couple of articles of clothing in the car, and she said, could we use these for our other rack? We're not going to have a rack of clothes that aren't going to be introduced. Mm-hmm. And she brings the one up and said, I became engaged in this dress.
Yes.
I think women can relate to that.
Right, right. And are they all pretty dresses?
No, not at all. Not at all. The Gingy has a long life, and she has a lot of monologues. She's not part of any of the dialogues, but you follow her story of her life as it goes. Oh, and another interesting point to this is called the clothesline. And the clothesline is where there will be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the cast. Not seven, I'm sorry. We only have seven at a time. And they do really quick things. And they're all things that I can remember my mother saying to me. For example, your bra strap is showing. What? What do you mean it's supposed to? That kind of...
That's great. Yeah, yeah.
If only you would wear this, you would look pretty.
Oh, I do think I can remember that. I can even remember what it was my mother wanted me to wear. She was going to buy me a yellow, pretty yellow dress, and I said, no way, I would never wear that, but you'd look so pretty in it.
Exactly.
I don't want to look pretty, thank you.
Exactly. There's lots to have to do with boots and shoes and short skirts and...
accessories and, as well.
Yes, yes. And we also are having a beautiful background of 3, 4 by 8 pieces of plywood that are painted with clothes and a mannequin with a poodle skirt. And he has to research the blouse that goes with it. But lots of purses and bags and things that we remember in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Mm-hmm. Does it go chronologically? I can't remember.
Chronologically?
Does it start in the 50s and move up that way? Or?
No, I think they just tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
I would visualize it as being out of New York City.
Mm-hmm. Which is where I'm from. So, as a matter of fact, yes,
I did
have that experience of gasping when I heard in the play an address that is literally right next door to where I stay whenever I'm in New York, my friend Susan's house.
She's
at 321 East 66th Street, in case you want to check it out when you hear the play. It was like, how did they know? So, and this was on Broadway.
Off Broadway. Off.
Right. What did you say? It opened?
It opened in 2009 and closed in early 2012. And it played at the West Side Theater off Broadway.
And it was written by Nora and Delia Ephron after a book. Based on a book.
Yes. The book was written by Eileen Beckerman with the same title. Loved Lawson, What I Wore.
Have you seen the book?
No,
me
not
neither.
Yet.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
But I'm reading.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's still around or if it was. A lot of people know the name Nora Ephron.
Yes.
She's done quite a bit of writing.
And I think she writes it the way she sees it.
And poignant and with a sense of humor,
yes.
For sure. This is all happening at the NCRD, the North County Recreational District, which is a very bulky name. That's why I like to just call it the NCRD. This is a building that has been taken over or given to the community. Is that right? Do you know?
Yes. It was a school.
It was a school. Okay, I wondered.
So it still has the swimming pool in the basement. And it still has the theater. So the theater was reconditioned. They put over $400,000 into making this theater look beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And comfortable, too.
Yes,
and the seats are comfortable, which that was like A to Z from before.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And the sound is good there as well. It is on, the address is 36155 9th Street. So if you're, well, I don't know, probably if you're coming from south or north, I know it coming from the north, you just stay on 101 till you hit 9th Street, and you take a left or right, depending on which direction you're going east, and it's can't miss it. You can't miss it. The theater is downstairs, though, so there is parking, too.
Yes, we will have boards up
on
the streets with arrows. And actually, coming from the north, it would be easiest to go clear down the hill in Nehalem. Where the free right turn is, don't turn right.
Oh.
Get in the left lane.
Oh.
And there'll be a sign there.
Okay.
And go one block and up the hill.
Okay.
And then pull into the parking.
Okay.
Because it's in the back.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to see it if you go up
night. I see. Okay. Okay. Good to know. I'll try that next time when I get down there. So you are directing. Did people audition for this? Was this a straight?
Yes, they did audition, and I took everybody who wanted to. And I have to say, Carol, they're all excited, so excited about it.
I bet. Mm-hmm. I bet everybody's delighted with the script.
They are.
Yeah.
We still giggle.
So, so what are your ambitions now that you've directed? How did it feel? How is it different from being an actor? Bossing
people
around.
Well, as an actor, I think what I really loved is I could be anybody I hadn't been in my life. I really, I've been a hooker.
Woohoo!
I've been a sheriff.
This is going out to the world, Marilyn.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's wonderful. I mean, look at the diversity. Yeah. Oh.
Yes. And this, I don't like to give orders, but they kept saying, do it. And so I am. And it's wonderful. It's just wonderful.
Do you, is this kind of a democratic process, or you're telling them what to do, but if they have other ideas, nope. She's shaking her head, nope, I'm the boss and I'm telling them what to do. Oh my goodness, you could have a total personality change now because you're enjoying being assertive and telling people what to do. My goodness.
No, it's not easy. It's not easy, Carol.
Do you aspire to doing more?
I've just been asked to come to the next tryouts for the next play.
To direct or to act?
To act.
Act. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. The Riverbend Players is very active.
Yes, and we hope to be more active now that we've got the theater so beautiful.
You're the resident group at that theater, aren't you?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yes, I can't tell you how many years. I could only guess maybe about 2004 or 5 we started. That's what I'm guessing. And we would do Reader's Theater in one of our beautiful rooms that we used to call Senior Room, but now we call it the Riverbend Room. So it could hold 20. Well, the theater holds just under 200.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Yeah.
So we want people to come.
Right, absolutely. And would you say this is for all age?
No, it has some adult content. Nothing that is derogatory, but the subject is something that children may not know about.
But if you're a teenager and your folks say go for it,
that would
welcome.
Be fine. Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. The play is Love, Loss, and What I Wore. That's a great title. And it is happening at the North County Recreation District Performing Arts Center. That's the new part of the name. 36155 9th Street in Nehalem, Oregon. And it opens a week from tonight. That's September 2nd. It runs for 2 weekends. Fridays and Saturdays are at 7 o'clock, and Sundays are at 2 p.m. And for information or advance tickets, I see it does say adult content. Yeah, I missed that. For information or advance tickets, 503-368-7008. And you can also check on the KMUN Coast Community Radio website. That's coastradio.org. You just go to events and look on the date, and you will find them September 2nd. Thank you so much, Marilyn Carr, director of Love Lost and What I Wore. Do you know what you're going to wear to the opening?
No, I do not. I do not. But I do want to add one thing. Come 1/2 hour early so you can enjoy the music.
Oh, absolutely. Good point. Yes. Sedona Fire Band and now Sedona Fire Duo are excellent. And our CD from them has disappeared. They were so excellent. It's probably just misfiled, but I couldn't find it. So, but I've played them on my show as well, so I agree. And opens next week. Thanks so much for coming.
Oh, thank you, Carol. Okay. This was awesome.
Good. Now,
thank you.
Take a breather, and then before you head back into the craziness. Okay, now I have some music from hopefully my next guest, and actually my next guest's agent. Have a listen and stay tuned. I think you might recognize this guy.
This one here is my biggest requested wordplay song, a little song called a palindrome song. Comes out UFO tofu, which is a palindrome. Do geese see God? Backwards, that sentence comes out, do geese see God? Raja saw Dad wash a jar. 10 animals I slam in a net. Only kidding. I would never do that. I would never do that. Tarzan raised a Desi Arnaz rat. Let's try that together, all together. Tarzan raised
a Desi Arnaz rat.
Oh, you're so perspicacious. We're doing palindromes, palindromes. Where do you roam? You know that I'm sure doing a phenomenon called palindromes, palindromes. Where do you roam? You know I'm sure doing something called palindromes, a big something called palindromes. Now, palindromes go way back in history. They go back to the beginning of time. The first words ever uttered, Madam, I'm Adam. The second line ever uttered, a little longer, a little harder, Madam, in Eden, I'm Adam. Eve can answer palindromically by saying, Eve. A man, a plan, a canal, Panama. An old historic one. Backwards comes out, a man, a plan, a canal, Panama. Now I know maybe some of us can't stretch our imaginations quite this far. We may have the fear of palindrome. Now, the fear of palindromes is a little phobia that baby Gramps calls abophobia. By the way, abophobia, spelled backwards, comes out abophobia. did I live. Evil I did dwell. That's a 400-year-old English one, with the one L as in Old England.
Well, that's Baby Gramps, of course. Anybody who's ever seen him does not forget him, and with good reason. Actually, the first time I met him was at Country Fair, as my guest and I were just talking about it, only it was in 1984, maybe before you were born.
No, not quite.
You were a toddler, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So, and I brought him back to Astoria to be on this radio, because we went on the air in 1983, and I thought, oh my God. So I am thrilled to be able to tell our audience that the Tolovana Arts Colony is bringing Baby Gramps to Cannon Beach this Sunday. It's a free concert, and there's lots of folks, including our favorites, Luke and Katie. Starts at 6 p.m., concert in the park, and it should be yet another gorgeous day, though thank goodness not quite as hot. My guest is new to me, and this is Andrew Tonry. Got it?
Indeed. Thank you, Carol.
Okay.
This is great because you know these acts, these bands, probably better than I do. I mean, I know them, but you know them.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, Luke, of course, we all around here have known him since he was a child. And just today, I ate lunch at his brother's place. You know, we have quite the community of talented people. So, Tolovana Arts Colony, anyone who has been listening to Coast Community Radio for a while knows about the Tolovana Arts Colony, but I'm sure there are lots of new listeners, and I would love for you to tell us about you, Andrew, and we've established that you were born before 1984, but that's all I know, and you're tall. I can tell people that because radio people don't know that.
Right.
But other than that, I know nothing about you, so why don't you tell us who you are and how you connected with the Tolovana Arts Colony?
Well, let's see here. I moved to the North Coast about 3 years ago, to Cannon Beach. I grew up in Eugene. I lived in Portland for a decade, and I lived in L.A., and then I thought to myself, I need to do the exact opposite of this, and that's how I kind of landed on the coast.
Okay.
And I got connected with the Arts Colony pretty quickly after moving here. You know, like, I think the first thing we did together was, they were having their group show and I came in and played guitar as kind of like a ambiance kind of thing.
Oh, see, the plot already thickens. You're a musician as well.
Indeed.
Okay.
Indeed.
Okay.
And I became the program coordinator this spring. And, you know, it's been a pretty awesome year for us. You know, we've celebrated our 10th anniversary.
I know. That is so wonderful. Let's give an aside here.
Yeah.
Again, I'm sure you know this, but yes, both the Reverend
yes.
and the uncle, mm-hmm. and that would be Billy Holtz and Michael Burgess, the two gentlemen who, two artists who started this organization, and both left us way too early. Mm-hmm. They were both incredible human beings. Billy, of course, was on the washboard and the editor of the Upper Left Edge, and Uncle Mike was a writer, gave all kinds of classes, and published several books. And they would be so thrilled to know that this is not only still going, but it's going strong and has mm-hmm. a young person like yourself, seriously, who mm-hmm. come in to work with the group. It's not just a bunch of old fogies.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, like Cannon Beach, there aren't a ton of young people, but there is an emergent, you know, there are business owners and creative people. And, you know, we have to cultivate these senses, you know, to make it a cool place to live as we go forward, you know. And I have to say, like, those two, Billy and Mike, have taken on an almost mythical status. Mm-hmm. Like, I can hear stories about them, and it'll be the same story, but told and you know, differently, so that they are truly larger than life.
I love it.
And I think that, you know, that we've passed the 10-year mark is a big deal.
It's absolutely. It's wonderful. I, you know, and it hasn't been easy. There have been struggles in there, and that's what happens, especially with a mostly volunteer arts organization.
You know, our board right now is really strong. I think it's as strong as it's been and cohesive as it's been in a good number of years, and, you know?
Excellent. Awesome. Excellent. Yeah, some people hung in there when it looked like it was going to just sort of disappear into the ocean, but it didn't, and they held on until it got started again and kept going. So this Sunday you have the concert in the park with Baby Gramps and Luke and Katie. How did this come about? Have you been doing concerts? Has TAC been?
So TAC used to do a lot of summer concerts.
Right.
That was a thing that you know, was a pretty regular occurrence, and it stopped just about 3 years ago. I think what happened is they did 1 year where they did something like 10, and I think it was a little overwhelming.
Ooh, yeah.
But you know, so this is basically when I came aboard, there was a little bit of budget for it, and it was something that, you know, we had promised to do, and I couldn't be happier. Like that's like, you know, like we talked about it, like I'm a musician, I've been a music journalist for like over 10 years, you know,
What's a music journalist, Andrew?
What's a music journalist?
Yes.
You know what a music journalist. I wrote for the Mercury, or I still do. That's primarily where I've done my music journalism, but you know, and that's in Portland.
Right, right.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say. I'm not a critic. How about that? I like to know, I like to give context and understand how people make their art rather than
So when you do that, do you choose or do you get a job and they say, go out and interview that guy?
It comes both ways. But, you know, primarily, again, to not be a critic, I like to find something that, like, I can be passionate about sharing. You know, like this is something that everybody should know about, you know?
Do you freelance still now? Great.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew there had to be a, you know, some kind of work that might help pay bills too, because even if this is a job, we know how jobs in the arts sometimes are. So so did you come up with Baby Gramps, or whose idea was that?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think it came to me like not in a dream, but definitely like maybe waking up in the middle of the night and something just said, I think what it was, I had a vision of Baby Gramps at the country fair playing the midnight show.
Oh, okay.
And it's just like it was an iconic, you know, thing that, like, you know, I mean, he is unforgettable.
He's unique.
And I really liked, I liked the idea that he's totally great for adults, children.
Absolutely.
You know, really for anyone. And I also thought, you know, like, we have this money to give to artists, and what a true, you know, just what a great guy to give it to, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, what a... You know, he's a lifer, and then some. Like, but he's like a, you know, like a five lifetimer. I don't know.
Right, and the truth is, nobody really does know how old he is. But he's a consummate musician. His the main thing, though, and folks could hear it in that palindrome song. He's also a wordsmith, and has this persona.
It's experiential in the way where he doesn't just get up there and perform his song, he engages.
Totally.
You can't just like sit back, you know, and be like passive about it. It's a really active
thing. Yeah.
And you know, and like we were talking about music journalism, this was a story I did for the Astoria, and that's how I met Luke and Katie, doing a story on Luke's record release that was last fall.
Right. Right. So. Right. Well, I actually have here, I don't even know, there's no information on here except Facebook.com and I can't even read it.
That's the Baby Gramps.
No. This is Luke and Katie's.
Okay.
And it is... The Baby Gramps is a solid album.
Okay.
Luke and Katie's I've got Hook and Anchor here as mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. but this is an older one, and I thought I would play a little bit of music from this. The beauty of that is that they play, Luke did the album solo, mm-hmm. then they play as Luke and Katie as a duo. Mm-hmm. Both of them are part of Blind Pilot, which just released
of course.
Their yeah, album.
We're lucky enough to catch them between their
yes,
between
wasn't
their
that
tours.
Fun? And they did two shows because they sold out the first mm-hmm. so fast and sold out the second at the Liberty. And then they Luke and Katie also play with other bands mm-hmm. as well. So I'm delighted. Are there going to be other musicians?
There is, actually. And this is a very Arts Colony thing. Just yesterday, I got a call from Watt, our board president, who
Watt
runs
Children's.
Jupiter's yeah. Rare and Used Books. And he said, Andrew, I just saw this guy busking in downtown Cannon Beach. Can you come down and see him?
Oh, fabulous.
And I did. And, you know, it turns out he's a banjo player from Seattle. He's a one-man band, so he's got a big apparatus, you know, walking around. Like, he moves his legs, and that makes the drums go, you know.
Uh-huh, right.
And, I mean, just a phenomenal banjo player, playing harmonica, singing. And, it was just like that was the great serendipity of, you know.
Comes together,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, especially that happens at Jupiter's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and just, you know, just. This guy comes down when it's too hot in Seattle to play music.
And now he's on stage.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to get to see him. Well, Cannon Beach is quite a community. Of course, it's heavily touristed, but it's also lived in by a lot of what they're calling these days creatives. I find that a little bit strange to call people creatives. It sounds a little bit robotic, but creative people. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you're one of them. So thank you for joining the Tolovana Arts Colony and making things happen. Do you have anything else coming up?
We do. We currently have a number of classes. There's belly dance classes. There are Zumba classes, Qigong classes. We'll soon have our creative writing class back. That's with John Broderick, who we had to go on a summer vacation because he was up fishing in Alaska. and then, you know, there's a bunch of other stuff coming up. I would like to, though, you know, use this opportunity to push really quickly. We're always looking for teachers, presenters. It can be a one-time workshop like a painter or a cobbler or a singer or just about anything that's, you know, arts or education related. And because we're a nonprofit, we're able to return 75% of the proceeds to the teachers or the presenters.
Ooh,
so
wow.
That's the whole thing. It's like it's really to support not only the arts in Cannon Beach and the North Coast, but the artists.
And I think that's was a big reason Billy and Mike started this is they looked around and said, we have all, I mean, Cannon Beach is full of artists. Let's make this happen. Mm-hmm. Let's support our people. And
Hey, but they don't have to be from Cannon Beach. You can come from wherever you want.
Right. Wonderful. How do they get in touch with you and or Tolovana Arts Colony?
ToLovanaArtsColony.org.
Well, that's pretty simple. Okay. And my guest, Andrew Tonry. And you can check him out. Are you going to be at that concert on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing sound for the concert.
Well, then,
so just about everything else you can imagine.
Is there anything else about you we should know before now I find out you're a musician, sound man,
keep
writer?
Keep some mystery.
Okay. Find him. Look for the tall guy, tall, good-looking guy. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. See, there's... Cannon Beach. We've had from the Nehalem in Cannon Beach. My last guest is also from Cannon Beach. But before we go there, let's have a listen to Luke and Katie.
Water's on fire, oh, water's on fire, gonna mean nothing if you give them away. Give them away, oh, give them away. Well, sooner or later, gonna have to pay. Or to dance by the light of the moon, no, dance by the light of the moon. I'm gonna pack a trunk with all I
by the light of the moon. We've been able to do that. Although, boy, those stars were even brighter last night. That was pretty something. That was Luke and Katie, and they, along with Baby Gramps and the Mystery One Man Band, will be at the Cannon Beach Concert in the Park starting at 6 p.m. this Sunday. And it's a free concert, too. TolvanArtsColony.org for all your information. Well, as I mentioned, my last guest is also from Cannon Beach. I think this is extraordinary that these people all came up here in 90-degree weather. And that's because they believe in their community and in the arts. And so do we. That's why we're here. So Lolly Champion is here, representing the Cannon Beach Gallery and the Cannon Beach Arts Association. And I asked to have someone come up because I got in the mail a gorgeous booklet, Narrative Ceramic Sculpture. And there are 9 artists, and this is not your, well, there's no such thing as normal or ordinary in art, but these artists are doing very diverse work, but they all are in the narrative vein, as in telling a story. And I'm going to let Lolly tell that story, a story told through clay. Welcome, Lolly.
Thank you for having us on. I'm glad we have the opportunity.
You bet. Notice how she used the plural. Actually, she's here on her own. And have you been on radio before?
I have for some other events, but this is my
on
first
KMUN?
Time.
On KMUN?
No.
Okay.
In Portland and down in Ashland went one
okay.
time.
Okay. So Lolly is indeed a KMUN virgin. Congratulations. Thanks so much for coming.
But not a virgin listener.
No. Oh, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. You know, I was just at the Cannon Beach Gallery last Sunday on my
Lovely.
Way back from Nehalem. I was thrilled that it was still open because so often I get there and it's closed, but it was open late.
We have our summer hours, so okay. we're open not 5 days a week, but 6 days a week. The only day we're closed through the end of September is on Tuesday, and we're open extra time. We start at 10 and go till 5.
Okay.
Instead of closing at 4. So
exactly.
We have more opportunities for you to get in there.
I figured it was worth just buzzing by, but I didn't expect to see
that.
Me too. And I was delighted. But I
didn't even think to ask about having someone come up until I got these in the mail, and I went, this is breathtaking. So you are a volunteer at the
gallery? I am a volunteer. I work with Jane, our director, who is 1 year and 1 month into the job. And I think this is probably so far the actual greatest event that she's brought to the gallery.
Oh.
The people that are coming with their works are internationally known.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are in what we term the Lark books, so they have been well recognized throughout the art communities, and they are in permanent collections in galleries in Europe, the United States, and Canada, and personal collections. So these are artists of a whole new dimension, and to all come together in what we refer to as a rather small regional gallery
mm-hmm.
is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is. It's a wonderful gallery, but it is a small, and it definitely is regional. One of the special things, though, about the Cannon Beach Gallery, one of the many special things, is that it is part of the Cannon Beach Arts Association,
yes.
which is the umbrella and does other projects as well.
Right. We work with, we're very lucky, and Jane is very creative with our grant program. For instance, we're just finished up our children's art summer camp, and we have a great place for people, artists within the community, to show their works throughout the year. In our cases, like for instance, our jewelry, etc., porcelains. So we look at ourselves as not only bringing great art to the community that otherwise would not be seen in the private galleries, but also have a continuing art area for people within our community to show on a regular basis.
Which is a wonderful combination,
it is.
Actually, yeah. And it's a small enough gallery. I really enjoy being in a gallery that size because I can spend time looking at each thing and then go through the cases, and I feel like I've had a real visit as opposed to only being able to get to part of it.
And the nice thing about the gallery, too, is each time we put up a new show, we do a great brochure that tells you about the artist, about the genre they're working in. For instance, our printmaking show, which you came in and saw when you were there Sunday.
Yes.
Jane made a great brochure that was actually a tutorial on the variety of printmaking opportunities there are out there. And we had two different lectures by the printmakers themselves. So we not
Jones
only have... Well, I guess the easy way to say it would be things on the wall, things in the cases, but we go the extra measure of having access to these artists and how they create their works on a regular basis.
Yeah,
so that's pretty exciting.
It's a wonderful community asset. Now, where did these artists come from? I mean, these are extraordinary. And I'm lucky I have this little booklet in my hand because it's quite beautiful.
Well, I do want to tell people that booklet is available at the gallery starting now. And our reception on when this will be actually up and displayed will be September 3rd at 6 p.m. There will be a wine reception. And we will have at least two of the artists there. One of our artists won't be there. And I always like to tell this story because I think it's great. He's actually a winemaker besides being an incredible internationally known artist. So, but we hope to have another lecture series once some of the other artists can come together during the time that we have it up. We'll actually have this up 45 days, which is longer than
unusual.
Usual.
Right. So, oh, yes, I see. It's open till October 16th.
Yes, and we want to make sure that when we're getting this quality of work with the dimensions of the different types of genres that they're showing within the sculpture, we want to make sure that we give it the ample opportunity that many people will have time and opportunity to come and see it. I think it's so essential that for this type of work, for people to explore what these artists create. May I just read a sentence out of the brochure?
Sure.
I think this sums it up. I love this. It says, each of the artists in this exhibition has a unique voice, their own stories, their own way of sharing, just as each viewer has their own perspective and way of understanding. And that's, I think when you've looked through the book and get the sense of what we will be showing, it's true that each person that walks in there will definitely come away with having a new way of looking at each of these artists' works.
So where are these artists mostly from, or are they?
Well,
are they?
We have two from Portland, mm-hmm. one from Lake Oswego, and one from Salem. We also have a couple that do joint work together from a small town in Washington, Washington.
Cosmopolis.
Thank you. I'm glad you corrected me.
Well, it sounds like something out of Superman, but
yes, it does. And hopefully there's no Krypton there.
Right, exactly.
And then we also have an artist, Akio Takamori. He's mm-hmm. from Seattle, but he was born in Japan, and his work is fascinating to me. And he's the only artist that we've been able to gain his works that won't be for sale because they're held in private collections and in permanent museums. But Jane has masterfully gotten two of his works released for people to come in and see the quality. He began his work in Japan, so he works in some porcelains and then in clay also. Then we have two artists from California.
Mm.
So it's a broad spectrum of geography, but certainly cohesive in the type of work that these artists do. And they all know each other and
really?
Respect each other's work. Yes.
Oh,
it's, you know, it's a community of when people are doing this type of work, they become aware of other people in their field.
You know,
so there's a real
Coast.
Variety of the work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's very impressive, and it's kudos to Jane. So does she have a foot or a hand or something in the art world? Is that why she's able to do this, or did?
Well, just to let people know so they can anticipate future exhibits, Jane, and we're so lucky to have snagged her. Mm-hmm. She was born in England. She got her beginning degrees in art and basically worked towards being a gallery and museum coordinator, and went ahead and came over to this country after she married to continue her degrees. And she's done a lot of appraisal work for museums and private collections. Mm-hmm. And she's been a private gallery owner, plus working for many galleries and museums throughout England and the United States. So
she has a lot of connections.
Right. She's just not somebody that fell off the turnip truck, as we'd like to say. She comes with a vast knowledge, and how this collection came together is basically through Jane's personal interest. She actually has one or two pieces by some of these exhibitors.
Mm-hmm.
So she totally had access to put this together that normally we wouldn't have had.
And they may have turned her on to some of the others,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. So. In fact, the reason Jane is not here with you today, mm-hmm. she would be the best spokesman. It's her birthday, and for her birthday, she is off picking up some of the pieces and meeting with some of these artists, which could be no greater birthday present
there
for Jane
go.
Than that experience.
Happy birthday, Jane, and thank you. Would you read off the names of these artists?
Yes, I would be happy to. Yeah. I'm going to start with the ones from Oregon first.
Okay.
And that's Babette Harvey. She's from Portland. And then we have Michelle Gallagher, also from Portland. Jacqueline Hubert is from Lake Oswego, and Heidi Presses, I hope I'm saying that right, Grew. She's first born from a German family and is trained in Germany also, is from Salem, Oregon, and she will be there the day
for
of
the opening
to mm-hmm. speak to people on that reception. John and Robin. Gamelius.
Good. That was pretty good.
The dual couple from Washington. And just a sidebar on them, if you wanted to get a hold of them or see their work online, that's not going to happen. They don't have a cell phone, a website, or email. They are strictly letter only and then show.
Good.
But you're going to love their work.
They get their work done.
They actually use metal plus the ceramics. And so it's a very interesting gathering together of resources that they use in their work. Akito Takamori is from Seattle, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then Wesley Andergrig is from Lompoc, California. And Margaret Keelan is from San Pablo, California. California. And Wesley is the one who cannot come because he's going to be stomping grapes to make wine,
oh,
besides doing art.
So, and to make mention, there will be wine at the opening, too.
Yes, there will be wine
and
lovely canopies. But most of all, I'm looking forward to being there as a viewer, because I want to see people's faces when they walk in.
Yeah.
When you volunteer at the gallery, half the fun is watching people walk in, especially our wonderful tourists that support us all, walk in their shorts and their flip-flops or whatever, and it's great to see them turn the corner and be exposed to an art scene that I think they're very pleasantly surprised.
Right, they come for the beach and they end up with this gorgeous stuff. I am very pleased, and when Jane told me a new volunteer, I thought this is perfect, because you're a terrific spokesperson for why people might want to volunteer. It's obviously been very satisfying for you. So,
oh, it is.
That's great. So this is the Cannon Beach Gallery Narrative Ceramic Sculpture, running September 3rd through October 16th. The opening is 6 to 8 p.m. on the 3rd. And there are 9 artists, as you heard, a story told through clay with evident or implied narratives. And I like the idea of the artist and the viewer communication. So, show up there. Do you have the website? Let's see.
I actually do, but I want to give the address. We're in Midtown, so I want to make sure it's 1064 South Hemlock Street, and there's great parking across the street.
Yes,
and
it's true.
We are at www, of course, Cannon Beach Arts, all one phrase, .org.
And the arts with an S, Cannon Beach Arts. .org. And as Lolly said, it's 1064 South Hemlock. It's right next door. It's the same building,
actually,
the
Bald Eagle.
As the Bald Eagle Cafe.
Where they serve Starbucks coffee, should you need a cup of coffee.
Well, I prefer independent coffee, but that's okay.
But they're very supportive of us, and they're great. They let us have our free cup of coffee when we're working. So that's
wonderful people.
Fun.
Thank you so much for coming in, Lolly, and enjoy the show.
And thank you for giving us the chance to speak about it.
You
I
bet.
Really appreciate it.